This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Wednesday. Wednesday night, August 27th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. As always, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I'm the guy with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we've got on this show like I do each and every week. I'm going to start with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy. He's sporting a brand new merch shirt. I like it. Rob, sir, how are you? How's the golden shovel? I didn't forget it.
Not too bad. It's a pretty good week. Kids started school this week. Other than that, pretty quiet week. Can't complain. No more bee sting complications. So yeah.
Did that heal up okay?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It took a few days, but it did.
All right. Good. All right, and last but never, ever, ever least, the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how you doing?
Wonderful, my friends. It's a pleasure to be back.
Always, always, always a pleasure. And can someone remind me, why are we recording on a Wednesday night, not Thursday? Was that Rob or Jason that requested this?
Yeah, that's me, because tomorrow night I'm going to see the Black Keys perform.
Ah, that's right. You had the Black Keys concert coming up.
That's tomorrow night. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They come through here every couple of years. I'm a big fan, so.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. I've been to see them like twice already.
Excellent. Yeah, we booked a show in, is it October, November? I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lindsay Sterling.
Not really.
She's a violinist who also kind of incorporates a little bit of ballet in her stage show. I guess she's considered like a pop rock type of thing. Incredible artist. We've been a fan of her music now for about 10 years. She did a duet with Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. It's a song called Shatter Me, and it's absolutely a brilliant song. The video is gorgeous. The song is amazing. And that's how we were introduced to her, and we've been listening to her for quite a number of years now. And she's doing her Christmas. She did a Christmas album, and she's touring right now. Actually, she's touring with Hailstorm right now, and she's coming to Orlando in December, and I went ahead and snatched up a couple of tickets for that, so we're doing that in December.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've got so much crap lined up, but like I was telling you guys in the kickoff show, I was going to do NXT Homecoming, because they're doing Full Sail right over here in Orlando, and I've got so much stuff coming up, I just had to talk myself out of it. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about WWE stuff. We have a big premium live event this weekend. Clash in Paris?
Yes.
Yeah, Clash in Paris. I want to make sure I get the verbiage correct. Clash in Paris. We're just going to kind of kick this around. People have mixed emotions about this one. Some people feel like the card isn't very good. I feel like the card is pretty strong. I think there's a lot of matches there that I'm looking forward to. There were some question marks in the air. I know Stephanie Vaquera was supposed to face Naomi for Naomi's World Championship with the announcement that Naomi is indeed pregnant. Now that is turned into something else. So that has been postponed. I think they're doing her versus someone at what, WrestlePalooza now?
Or, well, I think Adam Pearce is supposed to announce it Monday.
Monday, okay. So there's not an official word on that, okay.
Right.
So, and then they're doing, like, what, have they started a women's tournament for that championship? Like, I'm to be fair
No, they haven't. Ava announced that they are bringing the speed championships to coming to NXT.
I think that's a good move. Because obviously the speed deal ended. I think we talked about that here a couple weeks ago. It just kind of quietly went away. I guess the X deal was only for a year, and it was what it was. And it started off hot, and like all things, I think it tapered off, and interest in it gradually declined, which is a shame because those little three-minute matches were fun. And it was easy to digest. It was a fun time, really good wrestling. And I'm glad they haven't abandoned the championships or the idea, even if they're not doing it on X anymore.
Yeah, and so, and look, honestly, that type of thing is perfect for NXT because you have, it's another reason to get some of the guys and girls who are developing to get them on TV for a match.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not just like, hey, oh boy, my faves get to get it on TV. No, that's like a real live developmental thing. Hey, you have to have a short match and you're on the show, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect.
And then also, you know, just it's almost like a de facto TV title also because, you know, I mean, those will be title matches that they have on NXT television, and then you can save your bigger titles for the takeovers or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, that's, I don't know if it was this show or was it, we were on with EJ and we talked a little about the former WCW World Television Championship, and I think I mentioned the fact that I know WWE has a lot of championships going on right now, and how would you book this division, but I always liked the idea of having a TV championship, having something that's defended on regular TV week in and week out. I always enjoyed that back in the old days of the NWA and WCW. So if they end up doing that with the Speed Championship and it's defended on TV every week, I'm happy as a clam with that.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, ultimately I think it's a good idea. And, you know, so, and they're having a tournament to determine who's going to face Saul Ruka. That's what they announced. That's what they're doing. And it starts next week, and they're gonna have people from like each brand involved in the tournament. So
I did see that. I think one of the girls from TNA is going to be involved as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be like one Raw, one SmackDown, one NXT person, and one TNA person.
Yeah, and I think Candice LeRae was one name I saw, which makes sense. She was the inaugural champion, so yeah, she should get a rematch.
Yeah, and I think I forgot who from Raw, but I think from TNA, I think it's Xia Brookside, I think.
It is, it's Xia Brookside, which would be fun. Okay. I always liked her in NXT UK. She was one of the ones when NXT UK dissolved. She was one of the ones I was surprised they didn't pick up because they were working pretty close with her dad for a while. And then they just didn't pick her contract up. I was a little shocked by that. I always thought she, you know, I mean, she's cute as a button and she was, you know, energetic in the ring. So I still think eventually they will pick her up, but maybe they just felt like she had to go and do her own thing for a little while.
Yeah, and actually, because I didn't get to this, I forgot to mention last week, because her and I forget Xia Li's new name now.
Yeah.
But they team up pretty frequently in TNA. And I also wanted to just give a shout-out to the former Xia Li, because she wrestled a couple of times last weekend, and she has improved dramatically.
She has. I saw her on TNA, did a show on YouTube about a month or so ago. I think I talked about it on here. And she wrestled Masha Slamovich, and it was a really good match.
Yeah, and so she wrestled a couple of times, last weekend during, you know, in like some of the pre-show stuff and some of the TV taping stuff. She's gotten demonstrably better. I really noticed, like, remember when her throwing a punch or a kick was an adventure?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a 50-50 chance somebody might get knocked out. I paid attention to that when she has gotten down the art of throwing a work punch or a work kick now. It's not a scary situation anymore.
Yeah, I think she legitimately clobbered a few people here and there.
Because it was Mercedes Martinez. She knocked her clean out on television.
She did. She did.
Yeah.
Which is tough because Mercedes Martinez has been around a minute, man. She's a ring veteran, so.
Yeah, she's tough and it's always good to see people get better.
She's one I'd like them eventually to give her maybe another go in WWE because the look, like just the presentation was fantastic with her. Like the entrance and the gear and the look and everything, she had all that. And just the ring stuff just was not where WWE needed it to be. And I think, you know, we say this often about talent. Sometimes you got to get out of that system. You got to get out. Yeah, you got to go elsewhere in the world. Let somebody else show you some different ways and then put all the pieces together and come back and then see if you've got what they're looking for.
Yeah, actually, because they did announce she re-signed with TNA. They did a whole announcement and congratulations kind of thing last weekend. So she's going to be sticking around there for another couple of years. And that's probably a good thing, because, you know, it gives her more time to, you know, keep working on stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think her and Zaya Brookside, they're probably shoo-in to win the Knockouts tag team title at some point, for sure.
That's not a bad call. TNA is slowly building that Knockouts division back up. You know, obviously they blew a huge hole in things when Mickey James finally retired, or if she's retired, and then with Jordan Grace leaving, there was some question as to, you know, how that division was going to go. But with, you know, the addition of Zaya Brookside, the formerly known as Zaya Lee, Masha Slamovich has been awesome, and Ash by Elegance has put all the pieces together. So
we need to congratulate her also.
Oh yeah, she won she's the new Knockouts champion, right?
Yeah, and look, nobody called that. I mean,
No.
Yeah.
that was really, really, really fun. And I'm sure, I mean, she did say it in her little, the day after, that was so cool. Just as a multiple, from multiple angles, for Dana Brooke to win a world title in an NXT ring. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slip of the banana peel.
No, and because look, she has been maligned for pretty much her whole career.
And, not on this show.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, but in a lot of places, by a lot of
people. Yeah, no, right? We were very supportive of her, and even when they released her, we said, look, she was the girl that would go out and do the jobs nobody else wanted to do. She would do the slip on a banana peel. She would play
a character.
Yeah.
She, like, they didn't give her enough to go on or do, or they didn't let her do her own thing as Dana Brooke, but she was always doing wacky shit, and it wasn't just the fact that she'd take the pie in the face or whatever the proverbial thing was. Like, she was going to do it 110%, and perfect example is when she was just with Anderson and Gallows for no reason. Just they were just hanging out, and she wasn't like, and also ran and like or anything like that. She was, you know, I just remember when they did the doctor thing.
Oh, yeah, never felt out of place.
Was amazing, and she wasn't like the butt of the joke. She wasn't the girl. She was like, I'm sure there's innuendo and whatnot, but still, like it is. She's so good. Like, I'm sorry, she's so great. And it, just seeing this run she's had, oh yeah, perfect moment for her, for Ash by Elegance, FKA Dana Brooke, to pin somebody 1-2-3 for a very respected women's title.
Yeah, big deal for her. Big congratulations to her, and you know, congratulations on TNA for just continuing to just put out good stuff and bring in good talent, bring in fresh talent, bring in talent that, you know, maybe a lot of people feel WWE just kind of threw away. And, you know, there's a whole discussion to be had there that, you know, we can shelve for another day. Anything else going on? No, I don't know if you guys saw this. I want to throw a big get well soon. And I don't have the details in front of me because I literally just saw it before we went live. I guess DDP was hospitalized. He had a little heart thing. He apparently came out of it okay. Was already yoga stretching in the hospital bed. I did see video from him. He was yoga stretching in the hospital bed after this. He had like a little heart procedure or something. So at DDP, working miracles out there. Did you guys see the video of Lex Luger walking around his kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
Absolutely
amazing.
Wild. And awesome, yeah.
It really is. And, you know, it just seems like DDP is just one of those all-around good guys that nobody ever has a bad word to say about. And, you know, God, to see the guy in the hospital bed, you're like, ah, crap, not DDP. You know, like, we're not ready
for this. I'm telling the story again.
Go for it.
So me and my wife were on a connecting flight from somewhere to New Orleans. And just I see, like, you know, it's a big, huge crowd, 90% wrestling fans because we're all going down to WrestleMania. And, like, because everyone's wearing shirts and stuff. I think I even saw a belt of the carry-on. But anyway, and just quietly in the corner, there was this gentleman that, you know, people kept walking up to and then walking away. I'm walking up to him, walking away, and then finally my wife says, like, notices it, and she taps my shoulder, and she's like, "What? Who is this guy?" And I look over, and I'm like, "That's Diamond Dallas Page." And she's like, "Do you want to go say hi?" I'm like, "I don't know, it's the airport, but, like, I feel like all bets are off on WrestleMania weekend." And, like, he is being, like, and then we watched him talk to one person, and he was like, so nice and wonderful, and then I was like, I don't know, it's the airport, that's like a number one, and all of a sudden she's walking towards him, and I'm like, oh shit. So we walk over and run up behind her, and she's like, "Excuse me, Mr. Page?" And he says, "Yes, sweetheart, what can I do for you?" And she says, "I don't mean this any which way," or whatever she said, "but I was a WWF fan growing up, but my husband, he watched you grow up. You were big for his childhood." And I'm just standing there like, "Are you kidding me?" And he just turns, he's like, "Hey guys, blah blah blah. You know, thank you so much." And we got a picture. He was so nice. Because he asked, he was like, "You want a picture?" I was like, "Yeah, yes, of course." I did. Emily sat down, and Emily, like, went to, no, she didn't go to the restroom because I wouldn't leave our luggage. What did she do? She had her back to us. And when we finally settled down in the terminal and whatnot, and, like, finally we started to board, and no, I think I just had my backpack. That's why. She went to the bathroom, and I ran over to her. Hang on. Let me stop my Google timer here. Hey, Google, stop the timer. Anyway, make a long story way short. I ran over and I pulled the engagement ring that I hadn't told her about, you know, and that I was planning to show her before we walked into WrestleMania. And I said, "Hey, you're the diamond guy. What do you think?" And he said, "This weekend?" I was like, "Yep." And he's like, "Oh man, she's going to love it. You're going to crush it, blah, blah, blah." And, like, he gave me a pat on the shoulder and I ran off because obviously I didn't want her to see I had the ring. So yeah, Diamond Dallas Page, friend of the house. He gave our blessing to our wedding before it, and our engagement. So he is all good in my book, and I hope whatever this is, he just clears it as soon as humanly possible, and it certainly looks like that's his plan.
Kick out of two, DDP.
He's one of those guys. He's looked out for a lot of the guys. You know, that he worked with, and And it just he's taking care of a lot of those guys. He helped a lot of guys, you know, kick habits.
He's been part of a few interventions.
He has. So, you know, wish nothing but the best for DDP and hopefully a speedy recovery. And, you know, we don't repeat whatever happened here. Thinking about Jason's story and, you know, how awkward it sometimes feels when you see people like this, you see these wrestlers, these celebrities in public, and this is often a hot topic on the app formerly known as Twitter, because some wrestlers are like, look, under XYZ circumstances, please do not come and bother me. And then other ones are like, you know what, any time of day, any day of the week, you come up, you say hi, we're here for you. It just depends on the mentality of the person. I've only been in a situation a couple times where I've seen them out in public. The latest one was at Welcome to Rockville. We were over at one little side stage areas getting ready to watch someone. I think it was Killswitch Engage. And Shotzi Blackheart, the artist formerly known as Gigi Dolan, and one other one were sitting like literally like 20 feet away from us, and I recognized them. Then Tina recognized, she's like, hey, isn't that? I said, yeah. She's like, well, do you want to go over and say hi? And this was literally like days after both of them had been released from the company. And it just was so awkward. I'm like, no, you know what? They're at a concert. And people are coming up and saying hi and taking pictures and stuff like that, but I didn't want to be a complete mark about it. Because I just felt like some kind of way. I'm like, look, I was like, they were literally just released last week from the company. And they probably just want to be here. They don't want to think about all that shit right now. They just want to watch a concert. And I'm sure they appreciated the people coming up. But I was like, I just didn't want to be one of those pain in the ass type of guys. We go, hey, how you doing? Can I take a picture? Well, it's
that's when you walk by and just throw them a, hey, guys, you're the best, or something like that. And like, whatever.
Give them a
one
nod.
Of their fashion names, or be like, I love you guys, and then keep it moving.
Give them a nod and keep it moving. You acknowledge that you know who they are.
The people we saw on Bourbon Street that weekend, like that. Who was it that we saw? Oh my God.
You saw.
Will Ospreay. We walked by him.
Yeah.
And plenty of other people. I'm blanking on everybody.
Didn't you see Hangman?
An idiot, but yeah, and we like, you know, just gave him a nod and a, hey, what's up, man? Have fun this weekend or whatever, and just kept it moving. Rob and I broke another cardinal rule. We could tell that story real quick.
Go for it.
Because again, it was WrestleMania weekend, and the guy was very, very inviting. But we saw Kofi Kingston on the street in Philly, and he was with his kids and everything, and so we're like, but again, WrestleMania weekend, and again, we saw other people approach him, and he was like, yes, all about it. So we didn't even try to get a picture or anything. We were just like, hey, quick handshake, and just like, hey, you're the best. Thank you. I'm from Boston. You rule. Go chaotic.
You got to figure WrestleMania weekend is fair game for fans to come. Like, if you're working for WWE and you're showing up for WrestleMania weekend, like, for the next 7 days that you're in town, you are going to get mobbed. Okay,
yep.
But if I'm at a random...
It was his kids, though, so I was going to bug him with the picture. It was the, hey, how are you? Love you. Quick handshake, and we're out.
Yeah. So, but no, if I'm just, like, out at a random thing, and I happen to see, like, Rockville or some big concert or something, a quick nod, hey, I know who you are, I know what you do, I enjoy your stuff, and then just keep it moving. I'm not going to rush up and, you know, look for pictures and talk to him or anything like that, because I'm a little weird about that kind of stuff. So, but no, Jason, I love your DDP story.
Don't make us out to be a complete like prudes or whatever. We're marks too. If that dude was by himself, we would have stopped him cold. I would have been like, Emily, you're getting a picture of the three of us. Thank you very much. And Mr. Kofi, you just don't move, sir. You're yep. Wish me luck this weekend, Mr. Kofi. Yep. Thank you very much. So, but yeah, he was with the kids. So we were just like, all right, see you later.
Yeah. So no, dude, I love your DDP story. That just pops me every time you tell it.
Yeah,
dude, he literally blessed our engagement before it happened. Like, it was awesome.
That's great. That really is cool. I love that so much. So yeah, we have an entire WWE Premium Live event going on this weekend. Like I said, some mixed emotions online as to how good the card is, how strong it is. I think it looks like fun. Jason's going to do the card. But I think before we do that, because teams is what it is and it only gives us a certain amount of time, why don't we go to take a quick break? When we come back from the break, we will talk all things Clash in Paris, and then we can call it a night there. But before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. That's right. If you're listening to us for the first time, we do have a t-shirt represented there. Go check out a t-shirt. The starving artist on these shows will thank you if you pick one up. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style for just a couple extra bucks. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're talking Clash in Paris.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, we are back. You, again, are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. We are going to talk Clash in Paris. As customary on this show, Jason is in charge of handling the card. I'm going to turn the show over to him. But real quick, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, because I way misunderstood. The new WWE ESPN deal is coming into play very, very soon, sooner than I thought everybody, I think, expected. Is this the last Peacock Premium Live event?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the last one on Peacock, and then WrestlePalooza will be the first one on the ESPN gimmick?
Yes. Now, from what I understand, the NXT takeovers are still going to be on Peacock.
Okay. All right, so the main roster.
Yep, so then they'll have Worlds Collide, but then, yes, WrestlePalooza will be on Peacock.
No, WrestlePalooza will be on ESPN, right?
Or ESPN, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So this will be the last main roster.
If an ESPN executive within the sound of my voice hears it, just call it ESPN Stream. Stop trying to call it the app, ESPN. It's a separate platform. It's going to be a separate channel. ESPN Stream. We all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I still don't understand the particulars of all this, which is why I haven't pulled the trigger on it. I'm still got a couple weeks to go until game time to pull the trigger on the ESPN gimmick. So I don't know yet, but I was a little worried I wasn't going to be able to watch this one because I thought that this one was going to be the first one on that particular platform. But it is not. We are still on the Peacock for one more time for the main roster premium live events. At this point, I'm going to turn the show over to Jason, who is going to take over the duties of the card. Jason, the show is yours.
Well, thank you, my friends. Coming to you live from El Perry. Actually, no, it's Natare, France. I probably butchered that. The Paris La Défense Arena. We have Clash in Paris, and this card is in a weird order, so I'm going to go in my order. Kicking off the show, I hope, we have Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, up against the Tribal Thief, Bronson Reed, as he tries to rip that Shula Fala right around his neck or hopefully strangle him with it. But Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed in a singles match. Again, I look for it to end with Roman strangling him with the Shua Fala, and he taps out. Rob?
I think Roman wins, and then I think afterwards there's some type of beatdown situation, and so Roman can disappear for a while, and then he'll be back later.
Yeah, I'm with Rob on this one. I think Bronson Reed right now is hot. This Shula Fala thing has taken off. Personally, I want to see Roman beat him with every single shoe he's stolen from him, just because I think it's been fun. And I look forward. This is a big meaty men bump and meat type of match. I agree with Rob. Cool. I think Roman goes over. I think Bronson gets over. And we have a stretcher job at the end of this match.
How dare you? How dare you disrespect the Tribal Chief like that?
I'm not disrespecting
him.
Right,
moving on. We have, ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, we have a good old-fashioned Donnybrook. And we have, in this contest, two men who love what you need in a Donnybrook match, Sheamus and Rusev. As I like to do with some of these matches, pretty rarely, but I like to do it when one of these matches just tickles me to death. The winner of this match will be, of course, us, the fans, because those two are going to beat the ever-living dog shit out of each other, and we are going to enjoy every second. DJ.
Oh, yeah, this is true meaty men bumping meat right here. These are two guys, as JR used to call it, this is going to be a slobber knocker. I don't even want to pick a winner on this one because I agree with you, Jason. We, the fans, are going to get fed here. But this is one of those matches when I said that the card was a bit divisive. A lot of people were arguing that they could have left this off the card. I think this is a premium live event quality match, and I think these two guys, this could be the sleeper match of the night. It really could with these two.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Yeah, no argument there. Jeez. They will make this a pay-per-view match. Yes, a Donnybrook can be a gimmick match. But, yeah, no, they will make it work. Rob?
Yeah, look, I think, look, by the time it's finished, we'll all be saying it was really good. I also agree, with the people who kind of think that, on a 5-match pay-per-view, putting this on there is kind of like, hey. But, look, when the match is over, I don't think any of us will be upset that they put it on the show. It's just, it's one of those things that, like, on paper, going in, you're kind of like, really?
Yeah, on paper, they could silly the hell out of it. But with Sheamus as currently constituted, Rusev as currently constituted, yeah, no, they're going to beat the crap out of each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm just saying that it's one of those things that, I mean, given that there are only 5 matches and all that, This is a match that people will look at ahead of time and be like, well, why are you putting that on the show?
Well, let's look at this a different way, though, Rob. This is also one of those situations where we've brought Rusev back. We made this big pomp and circumstance about him going to AEW and being another one of the AEW former WWE people that's now back in WWE. At what point, if we don't start doing something meaningful with him, does the, okay, why did Rusev come back there discussion? Because that's something that the internet wrestling community does. If you don't put somebody on TV, you're wasting them. But then they'll say, oh, well, they're wasting a spot being on a premium live event. Well, you can't fucking have it both ways. Either we're going to use Rusev and try to make something out of him, or we're not. Pick one. Pick a lane here. You like Rusev or you don't like Rusev. If you like Rusev, shut up. He's on TV.
I think people are gun-shy because, again, the Donnybrook, they're going to revert somewhat to comedy Rusev. And I understand that worry because it's a thing, but I don't think that's actually going to happen.
I don't think they're going to go that route.
It's going to be a fight in like the Nolan Batman universe, not the Adam West Batman universe.
Yeah.
So I will kind of split the difference here. I will say, this match is a big argument for having more than 5 matches on a premium live event.
And that's fair. That's fair.
I think, again, in terms of what they're going to do, it's absolutely, PLE worthy. It's just, this is an argument for having more matches. This is why you have 6 or 7 matches on a PLE, because you can get something in there like this, and then you're not kicking somebody off the you're not kicking somebody off the card or not booking somebody on the card who people feel like it should be there.
That's fair. I mean, I can understand that.
Because on SmackDown this Friday, they're having like Sammy versus Solo for the U.S. title, and they're having Charlotte and Alexa versus, Alba and Piper for the tag team titles, right? And really, you could put both of those on the show on the PLE and have 7 matches, right? And that's what I mean. Like, just they're going to be people who are going to say, "Well, why didn't they have Sammy and Solo on the PLE instead?" Right? And for me, that's why, for me, my, that's why you have six or seven matches on the PLE. That's why you don't just have five matches.
Yeah. All right.
All right, moving on. We are going to go to, let's see here. We got, oh, this is going to be fun. We've got a singles match for the WWE Women's Intercontinental title. The man, Becky Lynch, is defending her title against the Hall of Famer, one half of the Bella Twins, one of the generals of the Bella Army, our wonderful, again, Hall of Famer, read it and weep, Nikki Bella. And I think it would be very high comedy if they hot potatoed this title a little bit. And Nikki'd be perfectly fine holding it for a month. And also, I think it would, she'd be over. So, I don't know. And that's just my personal thing. So, I'm gonna go with Nikki Bella though. Let's do it. My wife's listening. Guys. DJ.
Yeah, your wife's not listening to me, but I don't really have a varying opinion. I think Becky has done enough with the Intercontinental Championship. I think it's time to move on from whatever we're doing with her and get her on to the next thing. And I think with Nikki, you can absolutely, you're not losing any elevation of that championship. Certainly not. Nikki Bella has earned her stripes. She's earned her spot as a Hall of Famer. She's a much better wrestler than half the internet wrestling community would have you think she is. So, yeah, I think this is one of those things where you could hot potato that thing, get it off of Becky, get it on Nikki, and keep the train moving. I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. And if you hate the Rack Attack 2.0, well, then just yell at the guy who came up with it. His name is Daniel Bryan. Rob?
Well, you know him, brother.
Oh, Jesus God, here he goes.
The Becks will then go across the pond to do a job, brother. Okay. There's no way that's what. Okay.
I mean, you're probably not wrong.
He's so hateful about this.
Look, I said last month, or was it last month at Evolution when they had, you know, that if you're going to keep bringing back Nikki and Trish and whoever else from that class, they need to win some stuff, right? I mean. Because I looked it up, like when Taker, when he became a official part timer, when Hunter became an official part timer, they didn't just lose to everybody. Okay. They won things, right? I mean, and you know, Hunter even won the world title. I mean, that, of course, that was because they needed to, you know, they were in a pinch, you know, because a bunch of people were hurt and they had to set up him and Roman for WrestleMania. But,
oh, how selfless a Hunter, by the way. What a guy. He was like, you know, I could do it.
like are you
I could, I could walk into the WrestleMania as a world champion if you need somebody to.
Yeah. but I mean, look, I mean, Taker won, man. Taker beat Brock, you know, while he was a part-timer. Taker, you know, beat Bray Wyatt while he was a part-timer. And he beat CM Punk while he was a part-timer, okay? Like, so that, I mean, you know, we've talked before about how, like, you know, the Nikki's and Trish's and, you know, anyone else from that, you know, time, how they deserve to, you know, be able to come back to get these, you know, comeback paychecks also. The next step to that, though, was, okay, well, they need to win some stuff, too. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they shouldn't just be coming back to lose, because after a while, any appeal to seeing them come back kind of vanishes because you're just going to lose, right? And what do we say? If people see you lose enough times, what are you?
You're a loser.
Exactly. And, you know, so I think this would be an excellent time to do what you guys are saying. And, Nikki, again, she can win the belt here and she can lose a month later. Because, I mean, look, I don't think she's interested in holding the belt for 6 months and having to do everything that comes along with that, right? So, but yeah, there's no reason why she could not win it here. And then, you know,
lose it at Survivor Series,
yeah, or whenever, or you know, and it's fine. And this, like the hot potatoing this one is kind of what you want, or because if you know, if the world titles on both shows are gonna you know, not get moved around like that, then these should be. And then, and you know, because look, what have we said about, you know, the, particularly on the women's side, the mid-card belt and the tag team belt, what have we always said? They get booked based on who's wearing them.
Yep.
So, and, you know, Becky being champion meant that it's gotten on TV more. And, you know, with Nikki Bella holding the belt, it would get on, you know, for that month that she had it, it would be on TV. She could even get a title defense on TV in there somewhere, you know. And I think, you know, and it would shake things up a bit, because right now, I mean, okay, I mean, if Becky doesn't win here, then, like, what's she going to do? I mean, because, she, you know, she's done with Lyra, and it looks like, you know, Lyra and Bayley are going to be occupied with each other.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, Rhea and Io are kind of occupied with the world title, and Stephanie McCour. They're kind of, they're occupied with that. And so, yeah, I mean, it just really isn't, just not, yeah, there just really isn't anywhere to go really with it, you know?
Right.
But as far as making a prediction, she probably will keep it, because, yeah. But I think this would be a perfect time to do a title change, I think.
Yeah. Boy, how much heat did Becky get for that Aussie promo on Raw? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not, then again, I'm not from there, so I can't really, I mean, and I'm a big Aussie fan. We talked about him after he died, you know, on this show, and I said my piece, but it's fine. It's a wrestling heel promo. I mean, people are going to be in their feelings about it. It is, I guess.
She didn't insult him or anything. I mean,
no, she said he was the best thing to ever come out of there.
No, yeah, that's the thing. She didn't even insult him. She was just like, yeah, he's a legend. He got the hell out of here.
Yeah. He's the only thing good that came out of here.
That wasn't that bad.
In the grand scheme of wrestling promos, it doesn't even rank. So.
So,
yeah, right. Also, certainly talk about celebrities who probably understood, you know, at least the carnival of wrestling more than the average celebrity.
The Ozzy Osbourne absolutely did.
Yeah. I think he would get it. I don't want to be that jerk and speak for him, but there I go.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Kelly, look, you worked yourself into a shoot there, Kelly, okay?
She did, yeah.
And
yep.
Yeah, somebody needs to send her the Hogan meme. The don't work yourself into a shoot.
Yep. What's next, Jason?
All right. So moving on, we have John Cena and Logan Paul just in a good old-fashioned fight. The newly baby-faced John Cena, for reasons yet to be discovered. This one writes itself. They're going to have a great match, and John Cena's going to win, I think. Or does John Cena give the rub to Logan Paul, Rob?
No. We're on the back end of the farewell tour. This is the time where this is where you rack up the wins. Okay.
Yep.
He did the job. All right. Nobody wants to see him. Look, this is Sting in AEW time now. Okay. That's what this is.
Yeah.
All right. This is what we do from here on. It's Sting in AEW. Nobody wants to see him lose. Okay.
Nope.
I mean, and again, this obsession with putting people over on your way out, stop it. Okay. If they want to do it, it's fine. If they want to put somebody over, great. You know, if it's proposed to them and they're amenable to it, that's great. But nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see him. Like, come on.
They're not going to do that in Paris.
Four or five more times. Who wants to see him lose to Logan Paul? Other than the nerds on the internet who are, you know, insisting on, well, you're going out. You need to put people over when you're out the door. No, you don't.
Not even Logan Paul wants to see Logan Paul beat John Cena. I can guarantee you this, because Logan Paul at least has a fundamental understanding of the business to that level.
Yeah, he knows good and well that, yeah, exactly. He's there to, right, he's there to be a bad guy for to take a loss on the farewell tour. Okay.
Yep. And it's perfectly fine.
No. And I fully expect that once Cena gets his hand raised, you know, the music's going to he's going to get laid out again by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that hasn't gone away, guys.
Nope, that is still a thing. That's a real thing.
And I think that is very likely going to be probably the main event of the first ESPN broadcast premium live event.
Beautiful. Wow. All right, so did you say your piece on that?
I was pretty much just kind of agreeing with Rob as we went along. Yeah, this is John Cena's to win. I think we're going to get a great match. John Cena in back-to-back-to-back matches has turned the clock back. His last match with Cody Rhodes was just chef's kiss, and the one with Randy Orton was almost as good. So John is really, really, really giving us our money's worth in this final run, and I think this is just another page in the book.
Agreed. All right. So moving on to what I assume is the main event of the evening. We have Seth Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion, defending his title in a fatal four-way against CM Punk, Jey Uso, and LA Knight. So, I mean, it's a fatal four-way. You know, they're all going to get in each other's way eventually, and, you know, and Braun's not on the card. So, yeah, Seth's going to escape here somehow, probably with Braun's help. DJ.
Yeah, I don't think you pull the plug on Seth Rollins right now. I look for this to be a lot of fun. I look to have a great match here. I think this is LA Knight's time to really show up and show out and, you know, really remind everybody that he is that good. CM Punk, again, another guy who's turning the clock back at every opportunity. I expect good things from him. And Jey Uso's Jey Uso. He's been the workhorse for the last 4 years. This is going to be a lot of fun, but there's no way I see them taking this off of Seth Rollins right now.
Fair enough. Rob?
I mean, look, he just won it at SummerSlam. I mean,
yeah.
And they have a whole, their factions dominating Monday Night Raw and all of that. They're not doing that just so they can lose it a month later. So, yeah, look, I mean, yes, it'll be a great match, and it'll be, and everybody's going to get their stuff in, and it'll be great, and then, you know, and Seth has two people to help him, and they will show up and help.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's three challengers are all kind of at odds with each other also, so that's going to, of course, come into play. So, yeah, I mean, yes, he will escape here.
All right, and that brings us to the end of the Clash in Paris.
All in all, I don't see how you could look at that card and think it stinks. Like, honestly, I don't. People are just weird about this stuff, and it's, I don't even want to get into like a deep dive on the IWC opinion on WWE right now, but it just blows my mind that you look at that card and go, meh. I mean, the only somewhat meh match is going to be a banger, and that's Sheamus and Rusev, and it's not even that's a meh match. It's just one of those matches, like Rob said, where you're like, okay, it's going to be really, really good, but we also could have done this on SmackDown or Raw, and it would have been just as good. But this would be one of those matches where I'm looking at the bell-to-bell stuff. Like, I can look at these two right now and say, yeah, there are bigger stars they probably could have put in that slot, or they could have shaved 2 to 4 minutes off of 2 or 3 other matches and added a sixth match. That argument is definitely there. But if you're looking at this, the entirety of this card and going, meh, I don't think it's going to be very good, I don't know what angle you're coming from, because this looks like a lot of fun to me. It really does.
Yeah, I think, well, I think it's really more about the presentation than the actual matches themselves. It's just, it kind of feels like a, not a throwaway show, but it kind of feels like one, it's been presented the kind of like one you could skip if you wanted to. But again, by the time it's over, I think everyone who watched it will say this was a good show and it was a good time.
And that happened, like, you think back to Great Balls of Fire. We all joked about the name Great Balls of Fire and why are they doing this? Like, it was just a random paper, they were still calling it pay-per-views back then. It was a random pay-per-view that they just threw out there with a stupid name for no real apparent reason, and they ended up knocking it out of the park.
And yeah, exactly.
So, I have a feeling this will be one of those things. I do, when as I was sitting here thinking about it, I had this thought as I was talking. Do you think that some of the lack of hype for this is because we just have too many of these things back to back to back to back, so there's no real time to build before you're building to that? Like, we're doing this on Saturday, and then 3 weeks later, we are right into WrestlePalooza, and then another Saturday night's main event, right?
That, and then we also have No Mercy is in September also.
Yeah. So maybe it's... Well, go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this year in particular, like post-WrestleMania, there's been a big pile on
post-WrestleMania
this year. I think more than any other year. Like, so this isn't just the usual kind of post-WrestleMania, you know, dip or whatever. This is really, I mean, yeah, there's been just a lot.
This is a full court press, like, to put out content. Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, so I think, look, this does seem like, this is one of the extra ones, you know, my advice would be is, look, if you feel overstuffed, then it's okay to, you know, if you feel a little overstuffed and you feel like you just can't do this one right now, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be some harbinger of doom or something, you know. I mean, like, it doesn't have to be that, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to get all melodramatic about everything.
And as easily accessible as WWE content is, and for as much as they like giving us the replays and the recaps and everything like that, you can skip an event every now and then with WWE and not miss a beat. Like, you really could.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's no need to get, like, bent out of shape, you know.
Yeah.
If, I mean, but yes, do I think there have been, like, too many things? Yes. This year? Yes. But you don't have to watch them all. I mean, you don't, and it's okay. Particularly, like, a September premium live event is not a must see, okay, most of the time. No, it's not. So, if you feel overstuffed and kind of overextended, then, you know, cool, okay. I mean, you don't have to watch this one. And look, if you hear about it later, if everybody says it was really great, then you can always go back and watch it later.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it being on streaming, is that you can go back and watch it anytime.
Yeah, and, you know, my advice is always, look, better to take a night off than to burn yourself out. When it comes to stuff, that's the way I feel. It's better to skip something today than maybe watch it later than to burn yourself out by trying to watch everything as it happens, you know?
Well, and that's, again, another thought I just had in my head. Like, we are, and probably me more so than the two of you, biggest e-drones walking. Like, I am just fully on board with WWE. I don't watch the weekly programming. And I am of the opinion, if you are someone who is watching every minute of Raw, every minute of SmackDown, every minute of NXT, every minute of the premium live events, every single minute of content that WWE is putting out, you're suffering from diminishing returns. You really are. Like, there's just only so much of a good thing that you can do before you start just not enjoying it. And I think there's got to be a balance there. Like, please, pull yourself back. You know, and I say this, like I said, a full-blown WWE drunk. So, you know, I could not consume that much content in clear conscience. And I love the product. Like, I don't really have a whole lot of complaints about it. You know, there's probably little things I could look at and go, okay, yeah, that ain't for me. But in general, I think WWE's doing great work. I think Triple H's booking has been really, really good. I think the direction the company is in is really, really good. But at the same time, I'm not about to watch, let's see, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of NXT, that's 5, 7 SmackDown. I don't have 12 hours a week to put down wrestling content. I just don't. And that's if I want to even sneak in some AEW in there. like Wednesday nights or Saturday nights if I want to try. I got to pick and choose my battles here. So yeah, it's a lot, and you don't have, like Rob said, you don't have to watch all of it.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, and I would advise people not to. I mean, because again, right now, yes, there is too much. Okay, but you need to make it. This is, you know, this is kind of one of those points where you need to make an executive decision as a fan, like, because actually, I was talking with Ernest about this last night. It's kind of like, it's very similar to comic books, right? I mean, you know, there's always another event, right? And then, you know, where it's like, you know, crossover mini series where you got to, you know, or if you want to read all of it, you got to buy like 5 or 6 different books, including some stuff you might not normally get. And then all of the, like those events lead up to like the supersized, you know, Black as Night kind of thing where it's like, where if you want to read the whole thing, it's like 100 books, right?
Just buy the trade paperback later. That's what I wish. That's what I wish I did. I have way too many Black as Night comics.
Everything is graphic novels for me right now.
but as we all know, we all three have, you know, do some comic book stuff. You know, eventually you learn, you make an executive decision over, okay, well, I'm not going to get this event.
Yeah.
Right. Or you know, or.
Those are self-control. Awesome.
Yeah.
Self-control is a cool thing.
Yeah. Or like, you know, this crossover thing. Well, I'm just going to read, I'm just going to get the books that I already get that are involved in it. I'm not going to buy all the extra books that I normally don't read or don't, you know. I mean, and it's the same kind of thing, right? It's like, okay, if, like, look, if you look at this card and if none of your favorite people are on this card, then skip it. You know, yeah. Then, no, don't, okay. Like we say, don't struggle watch, right? Don't, right? If you look, if none of your favorite people are on this card, then this is one where you, skip it.
Walk right? out, man. It's perfectly fine.
That doesn't mean the show was bad, or anything like that. Look, they got your money because you got the subscription. It's not like, look, it's not like, you know, they're not going to go out of business because you chose to not watch this one. Right? You know what I mean? Right? You know? You know, they already got your monthly subscription money.
Yeah.
You know? So I think in this case, it's perfectly fine. And, you know, it's perfectly fine to go do something else or, you know, or whatever. If you just, because look, if you burn yourself out, then you're going to wind up not wanting to do any of this stuff. And this is supposedly a thing that you do for fun that you enjoy doing. And, you know, to burn yourself out on it, you know, it's just that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I mean.
Unrelated, Jason, you brought up Blackest Night, and I literally just finished reading that last weekend for, like, I don't know, the 20th time. I love that story. I love Blackest Night.
Oh, me too.
One of the best, man. And, like that whole Geoff Johns run of Green Lantern is one of the best things that got me back into comic books, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did buy all the trade paperbacks of Blackest Night, all 7 volumes of them.
No, I don't. All I have is
you,
the...
buddy. I have like 75% of the issues.
No, I have the graphic novel.
Sicko mode.
Literally the graphic novel, and that's it.
Don't understand. It literally crossed over into every single title for a period of 3 months.
Yeah,
that's insane.
So on DC, in DC Comics whole catalog, it was like, yep, the zombie lanterns are here.
And everybody across the board
for the summer.
All right, guys, I think we had a really good show. I think we can call it a night and go home a little bit early here. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go back around the room. Thank my co-hosts like I do each and every week on this show, starting with Jason, sir. Fun show. Had a lot of good energy tonight. I enjoyed this.
I had a great time. If anybody, I'm also having a big great time playing the Helldivers. If anybody got that this week, I highly suggest investing in it, because the thing that I love the most about it is it's kayfabe. Everybody that I've run into playing the game wants to play along. With this ridiculous Space Marine spreading democracy story. It's incredible. So, Pretend is still alive, and Kayfabe still lives one more day. So, God bless.
While we're pimping video games, I want to thank friend of the show, officially Jace on the app formerly known as Twitter. Turned me on to this game, Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I've heard several people talk about it. He's been talking about it for weeks. It's a turn-based RPG that I am not usually a fan of. He's like, no, you're really going to like this. Over the weekend, Shayna Baszler played it and posted on the app formerly known as Twitter that it was probably the best game she's ever played. It was a masterpiece. I QT'd that, said I really want to, I'm thinking about it, and Jace, like, really pushed me at it again. I pulled the trigger. I bought it this weekend. The game is fucking incredible. Oh my God, it's incredible. And I'm only like 10% of the way done with it. Jason and I were talking about it in the pre-show. Absolutely incredible game. If you're looking for a good turn-based RPG and you haven't tried this one out, I picked up the expanded version for $53 on the PlayStation Store this weekend. It's not an expensive game at all. From the Rob the Genius podcast.
It's a work of art, man.
It really is. It really is. From the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir, good show tonight, man.
It's always a pleasure.
And I'm DJ, the guy with the award-winning and holy beard. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in a ring. And we're out of here until next week.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.